The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies
from the 90s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
The compelling story about Laura Linney, a woman who craved fame and fortune so hard that she's willing to sleep with a complete stranger, live a lie every day, and succumb to the whims of one Ed Harris. I'm just kidding. It's about her dim-witted husband who doesn't know what the fuck is going on.
She's barely in the film. Yeah. The 1998 film that predicted a future in which people would watch normal idiots do just nonsense. Ridiculous. Until YouTube unboxing videos came along and, yeah, they got it right.
Yep, prove them right. The movie that proved that Jim Carrey should be taken serious as an actor by giving them the hardest part of his life. A normal guy who doesn't run around fucking making his ass talk and shit.
This is The Truman Show on Blockbuster Nostalgia. Hey, Blockheads, and welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia, the movie podcast countdown the biggest movies of the 1990s, one by one. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landia.
Today, we are talking about the 1998 film experience.
Yeah, mega hit. I was surprised to see this one.
But I was a little surprised, but again, Jim Carrey, just a force that could not be stopped,
yeah,
could not be tamed.
Most of his movies we'll talk about.
Yeah, we talk about a lot of fucking Jim Carrey movies in this fucking podcast.
Yeah, we just talked about Dumb and Dumber.
Yep.
But this movie made $125,618,000. It's a crazy amount for a kind of like sleeper dramedy. It's PG, but it's not for kids.
Right.
Like kids can't have. It's not a family movie.
Interesting to children. Although, I mean, I wasn't that young.
But in the trailers, it played that up.
Yeah.
And I think most of it was people thinking it was going to be a funny Jim Carrey movie.
Yeah, you think so?
I think so, yeah. I think people were going to, because, I mean, he does do some silly shit in the movie, and it was all in the trailer, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right. And I remember seeing this movie in the theaters.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, like, oh, wow, Jim Carrey. Like, it's good. Like, he did a thing. He did a thing that wasn't just, like you said, talking out of his ass.
Or yep.
Or fucking farting really hard or just making annoying sounds for 20 minutes.
Yeah. Viciously insulting people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or dressed like a fucking buffoon. Like,
right, right.
Yeah. Yeah, this was the first time that critics were like, wow, like Jim Carrey can act. And that, yeah, it's fine, but it's no like Man on the Moon, which is way better.
That's true.
Yeah. Or it's Eternal Sunshine.
It's the expectation things, right?
It is, yeah. Yeah. It's because he had just fucking made like Dumb and Dumber. And
exactly.
All that shit. Yeah. So when you see
this comes out after Man on the Moon, very different conversation, I think.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, then they'd be like, well, he should have stayed with like something more passionate and not this kind of, because this movie, all right, so the movie's not bad.
This movie is not bad. I also realized something else watching it again, because I definitely didn't enjoy it as much this second time around. I hadn't seen it since the theaters.
Back me too. I hadn't seen it since it first came out. Mm-hmm.
But I realized, and I'd always in my mind, I was like, oh yeah, Truman Show, pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
And being serious, it was a pretty, pretty awesome movie. I realized watching it now, the fucking score does so much work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It has a really nice little, like, couple of pieces of music in it that I have heard since then that always play on, like, music lists and stuff, like, music mix, rather, on, like, YouTube and shit, when you're just like, oh, fucking movie soundtracks.
And then you're like, what is this one?
Yeah, and you're like, oh, that's really good.
Yeah, it's a very interesting score. He was, like, an Australian musician, right?
Yeah, he's not, like, a very famous, he's not, you know,
and he hasn't done that
Hans
much work.
Zimmer, this isn't John Williams, this is a guy who's only done, like, five movies in his whole life.
Yeah.
But it really, especially the first time it kicks in, because the first time it kicks in, nothing that dramatic's really happening.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the first time Jim Carrey's like, oh, that was strange.
Yeah,
like, but exactly. Very dim-wittedly, but yet the music comes in with a strong, like, piano.
Yeah, and something's afoot. Yeah. Yeah, no.
So it's getting very dramatic.
It really does. Like, if anything, you can give that a lot of credit, like, a good score. Because there's not, like, I get it, but the stakes are weird in this movie.
Like, it's just the soul of a man.
Yeah.
I mean, what higher stakes could you want, Francisco?
Yeah.
It's just the soul of humankind.
Yeah, of all, because we would never delve into a society that just fucking.
That's right. Just watches one guy do a dumb thing.
Yeah, yeah. No, this is also, the concept is great, and like what, if the conversation about it is great, like, you know what I mean? What,
it's a movie that's more interesting line. As an idea than a movie.
Than an execution, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's just kind of like a little movie. Like, it's a kind of like a silly little dramedy. And I mean, watching it again, it's all right.
It's definitely like one of those things that I can see if they're sitting down at the pitch meeting with the execs being like, holy shit, this is brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, this is so much like interesting, and oh, it says a lot about television and society and fame.
Right. And like what our producers will put their actors through and stuff like that. But it's no like the stuntman with Peter O'Toole. You know what I mean? Like, the setups, I think, don't pay off as high as they should.
Yeah.
As well as they should. Yeah. But you have Jim Carrey.
Well, and it's, because at the end of the day, and this is something we talked about a lot while watching it, you have to believe that the most popular show on the planet Earth of all time is about a insurance salesman who is not particularly funny, not particularly charming.
No.
Doesn't get up to antics.
Nope.
Doesn't have any wacky neighbors.
No.
Is not like a comedian. Is not.
He's not wisecracking. We were talking about in 50s sitcoms. They were just regular Joes, but they were wisecracking.
Sure.
And then eventually America got tired of that, and then they started putting fucking genies and witches and shit in those same shows.
And then even when they circled back around to like regular people, they're still just doing jokes.
Yeah, they're still like wisecracking all the time. So it's always like,
or if jokes. You're talking about dramas, it's there's not a lot of dramas about insurance salesmen.
Yeah.
If you look, Breaking Bad wasn't about a guy who just sold insurance and went home to his family. Yeah,
exactly.
Fucking Sopranos wasn't about just a guy who, you know.
The biggest problem with this movie is that I could not get over that.
Yeah.
I could not get over, like, how does Ed Harris pitch this?
Right.
Like, it's an interesting.
It's like HBO, I know you just finished Game of Thrones. Very cool show. Dragons, fucking sex and violence, zombies, all that. Very, very cool. What about just a guy who is a little bit sad? Not that sad, but just a little bit sad.
Yeah. Sad enough to want to go to Fiji.
Yeah. He's married to a very attractive woman, but they don't really love each other that much.
Yeah.
And then he sells insurance, but he's not really very good at it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he has a friend, and they sometimes, you know, get up to stuff. They're like, oh, finally, what do they get up to? They get up to like schemes? Are they schemers?
Yeah, they're scheming. No, sir. They are sitting at a bridge drinking beer. And every time,
Hey, what about dragons? We got any dragons in it?
No
dragons, actually. Sex? No.
And you're like, some big things are going to happen to this character. His father's going to draw on. Oh, now we're talking.
Yeah.
And then after that, 15 years of nothing.
Of nothing.
Yeah.
But then 15 years later, marry. The payoff.
Yeah, exactly.
Of the dad coming back.
The dad coming back. Yeah, exactly. Like,
and you pointed out what's really funny about it is every time something really interesting happens, that's when they cut away.
Yeah, yeah. That's Ed Harris is like, no. Yeah. We want a boring guy.
Yeah.
It's also has to be the most expensive show ever produced. They build a town in a dome with digital, like what I assume would be at the time, like plasma, you know what I mean? Like digital screens. To make the sun and shit.
Yeah, they have like, they have lighting effects and weather effects. And it's 100% the most expensive show of all
time. And
then
they're paying all actors for their whole life to be in this town.
Yep.
Like, and then be like, all right, and then we're just going to watch a guy do normal guy shit.
Yeah, but Francisco, it's real. Yeah,
imagine if your husband was in the television.
Yeah.
Huh? Isn't that what you like to see?
Yeah.
Your life? What do you watch? You don't watch TV to escape your life and see compelling things that would never happen to you? No.
No.
You want to see what everybody else has seen.
I just want to go. I just spent 10 hours being a fucking store manager. I just want to watch some other guy be a store manager for 10 hours. Yeah,
for 10 more hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the way soldiers come back from heavy battle and immediately want to watch, you know, like a lot of shooting and war movies.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. The concept is ridiculous. I can't get over it this time. The first time I bought into it,
I think 98, you know, reality television is still as its infancy. You know, we got like maybe like Survivor's out. Real World, obviously.
Yeah, there's no like serious reality probably.
Yeah, it's
probably
all just
Survivor's
like silly
here.
Nonsense.
Yeah, exactly. It's just idiots.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, I guess it would be really interesting if it was just a real guy that didn't know, you know? It's kind of...
Yeah. And no, instead. But again, like we said, all right, so it creates opportunity for really weird things that they don't take advantage of.
Sure.
Well, like you said, like Breaking Bad. Like, if this is a show where we watch this guy and then all of a sudden he runs into the mob and now he's being chased by the mob and stuff, then also like, hey, the show got good, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, he broke bad, like you said. Like, what... to what level will he be able to do? Or
if you're challenging, if you're taking like, okay, we're gonna take a guy, real guy, doesn't know he's on a TV show, and we're going to actually introduce elements of
like high stakes drama.
It's, you know, we're gonna play the devil.
Yeah,
we're gonna introduce
exactly.
temptation to this good man's life and see how a real person reacts.
Yeah,
to these kind of stakes, like. So, yeah, he's married to this this very attractive woman. They're trying to have a kid. What if we just throw fucking Jessica Rabbit, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Into this shit.
And then they create, like, real drama between them. But, no, even when Laura...
Like you said, what if we get the fucking mob involved? What if he gets into a fucking gambling debt? Like, what if we throw some real shit?
It's so easy to set up a simple misunderstanding that spirals out of control.
Right.
So many movies are set up to that, but it's also, you know, you could totally just play that up and see how a regular person reacts, you know what I mean? But at the same time, it's not a regular person, so you could also, going off of that, you could also do whatever you want and raise him however you want.
That's true.
And
make him think, believe that he's in fucking Star Trek.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. Or like The Village.
Yeah, that's right.
Like The Village is a perfect example of that.
Yeah, The Village is, well, I don't know a perfect example.
yeah. Maybe not.
But
maybe we wrong is, use a word.
Exact example, yes.
Yeah, it's like, oh, we can make them think that they're living in like the 1800s.
Right. Fucking... Spoiler alert for The Village.
Yeah. For anybody who hasn't seen heard of the ending, the big twist ending.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Not so great.
That's a good example of like what you can do. You have like, but instead, Ed Harris is very, very much about keeping the status quo and keeping him a boring guy.
Yeah.
So anytime anything gets interesting, like you said, he's like, no, we can't do that. Like, there's a part where he's starting to lose it, and Laura Linney's like, I want out. Like, and he's like, what does that mean? You know, like, he's starting to freak out. Ed Harris is like, we're going to just take her out of the picture, and then we're going to introduce a new girl for him to be in love with.
Yep.
And I'm like, yeah, what if you just keep them in a weird marriage? Like, they avoid drama at all costs.
Yep. Which is very, very, he is
very boring.
Fucking Ed Harris is anti-TNT.
Yeah.
He hates drama.
Yeah. Yeah, it just buying into the
He does not understand drama.
He does not like it.
No,
he does not understand
like
it.
He's also, I mean, you can, I guess, talk about it on the other level of like Ed Harris as God.
Right.
And this, you know, idea that Truman, if you take the television aspect out of it or just ignore it and it's just like, you know, it's about fate and like monotony and never leaving your hometown and never exploring
your own future
and choosing something different. Like there's something there.
Yeah, there's things there, but the movie never fully explores them.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess it works in that aspect that you then have to talk about it, but it sets it up. It kind of makes it so wacky sometimes too.
Yes. I mean, it's still Jim Carrey. Yeah. So I don't know if this is in the original script or not, but they still feel the need to be like, well,
We got to do some Jim Carrey.
We got to have him like freak out and do some crazy driving and do some crazy interactions with people.
So he's.
Yeah. Let's talk about this actual plot. Let's break it down.
Cause it's massive. Like in scale, when you think about it, is they got this baby and they set it up right away, right?
Yeah, they
said
they get a baby.
Like, we got a baby and then we built this town around him and he's, for some reason, we chose fucking like 1950s America kind of.
Yep.
And
because again, people just, that's nostalgia fucking spooged people. I don't know.
Yeah. Because the people, it's still like, that was a perfect society back then in the 50s. I'm like, for some people, sure.
Yeah. Probably not, but you know.
Yeah.
We'll go with that.
But even then, you know, like you only live to be like 54 and shit.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
You die of massive coronary.
Exactly. You have a you have a great life with no emotions, but lots of rock and roll and fast cars, and then you die.
Yeah.
You have a family with a woman that you tolerate and children that you love, hate.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, you know, you again.
That you secretly wish would fail so that they don't outdo you.
Yeah. You tell them stories about Korea and how it is to be a real man. And then,
then bottle it all up until.
Exactly. And then you just drink whiskey and eat nothing but cheeseburgers
until
your whole life.
Heart explodes.
Yeah, exactly. Sounds like a perfect life to me. I don't know what you're complaining about, Francisco. Yeah. That does sound like utopia.
People remember you lovingly.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, so that's what they went with. They went with this fucking 1950s thing, and then they raised this kid in television, not knowing that he's in the show. So the first, I'm going to say the first 6 years are not about him, right? They're about the parents.
They got to be, right?
They're not about the two-year-old. Like, what about the first 18 months? What does that baby do?
Yeah, it's definitely, the first 3 years can't be about him.
They're not about him. They're about his parents, right? So,
like, by the time he's like 3-4, then maybe you can be like, oh, he's starting to learn shit.
Yeah, but I don't know if you ever saw that Babies documentary. It came out like 10, 12 years ago, something like that. They just followed like five babies from around the world. And it's cute.
Sure.
But afterwards, babies. I was like, yeah, that's about the right amount of babies I went on. Like,
about 90 minutes?
Yeah.
About 90 minutes of babies?
In one fucking. But imagine I was fucking every day you just watch this baby fucking. Like, do baby
that's
shit.
Crazy.
Yeah. It's like, you know how you have to take care of your kids all the fucking time and it drives you crazy? So crazy that you have to take a day off so you don't kill yourself?
Why don't you watch a baby during that day?
Yeah, why don't you watch the baby
again, that's,
at night?
That's the thing that is so...
Like, the kids are asleep.
Doesn't make
Let's
any
go
sense.
Watch the Truman Show where the baby...
the baby's doing baby shit. Yeah. We finally got a break.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you're sitting there, you're fucking rocking your kid to sleep, feeding him a bottle.
Oh, I gotta
What's
watch
on TV? Oh, it's another parent rocking their kid.
Feeding them,
fucking feeding them a bottle.
Watching some fake show? I don't think... Because it's also like the... All right, so anyway... Ed Harris runs this thing. Well, right away we find out, we see that he lives like this nice suburban 50s looking life.
Yeah. I mean, it's a beautiful town, beautiful people.
Yeah. But a light falls from the sky.
Yeah.
Which is also weird because what was that? The sky is the dome. So what was that light?
I assume there's just, if you go high enough up there, it's like a
scaffolding.
It's like a theater.
Yeah.
It's just all spotlights and scaffolding and.
Yeah.
Dude smoking. There's some dude up there being like, what are we doing? All right. Yeah, I'm turning on the spotlight. What do you want? Blue gel? Fuck. All right.
Pissed off Teamsters taking their 15-minute mandatory breaks.
All right. Let me get back to work. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah. So our light falls from the sky. It's actually a cool bit.
Yeah. No, it's not bad. I mean, and it's right away, too.
Yeah, it happens.
Which was kind of interesting. Like, I feel like most movies...
No, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I just feel like most movies that have a setup where it's like, it's a normal life, but is it?
Right.
Wait like 20 minutes before the or is it part.
Yeah.
This movie, it's 2 minutes in.
Well, it's because the 20 minutes would have been just a boring guy doing shit.
Exactly.
And the filmmaker knew that's too fucking boring.
Too fucking boring. Yeah.
But in the movie, we're expected to believe that
I prefer it this way because you go into the movie knowing that it's not.
Yeah,
it's not just about a guy doing a regular fucking thing, right?
Not like
that's not what you're watching it.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. So, but that in itself, like, negates the concept of the movie, that you have to believe that people would watch a regular guy do regular shit, and then you cut out the part where regular guy
does regular shit
because it's too boring.
This is too boring. So, basically, what the director has done is he has said, okay, they made a show for 30 years. I'm going to show you the hour and a half that was actually good and interesting.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep, exactly. And like I said, probably, like, most people maybe that live in, like, that type of like life, three events in your life that are massive, you know what I mean? So in this one,
it's the first time you do coke, the first time you hire a prostitute, and then the birth of your child,
and the time you die from coke overdose with the prostitute.
With a prostitute. While doing heroin with a prostitute. Sounds right. Yeah.
So the light falls, then we get the like radio announcer just being like, oh, a plane dropped some debris.
Right.
Like they're covering it up. So it's entertaining. It's entertaining to see like how
again,
they try to cover
like
up.
Like you said with the village, they could have just made a world because they go to great lengths to make a world where Truman does not want to leave this island.
Right.
They didn't have to introduce planes.
No.
They didn't have to introduce the boats.
Yes.
They didn't have to. They could have said there's fucking monsters in the ocean.
Yes.
Like they could have done anything.
You could do anything. Yeah. Exactly. And it would have been more interesting. So there's the movie.
You just said this is the world. This world is the island.
Yes.
Like there is nothing beyond this island. We have explored.
Yes.
All that is out there is monsters and death.
And that's it. Exactly.
Although I guess that would have made him more interested to go out. I don't know.
Well, yeah. If you said there was monsters, I guess.
Yeah. Because you want to see monsters.
But you could have just
been
like.
If they're just like, no, it's just Godzilla's.
It's
Godzilla's as far as I can see. Yeah. You're like, fuck
damn.
Yeah. Let me see some Godzilla's.
You ever seen one of those Godzilla's? I really want to see one of those Godzilla's that we're talking about. Yeah. There's a movie called Dogtooth. That is exactly about that. But it's like these parents are raising their kids and just fucking teaching them gibberish, so they believe that's reality.
Yeah.
You know, and they can't leave the house because there's a big monster outside and shit like that, you know. So this, they could have totally done that instead of traumatizing him
yeah, with his father's death.
And then keeping him from leaving. Like, maybe if the point is that Mormon thing where you go out and live for a week and then you either come back or you stay out forever. You know what I mean? Like, keeping him from leaving, maybe the point is, like, eventually every man... I mean, that's the point of the movie.
Right.
But of the show, eventually your man has to go, be bigger in there. But they're like, no. He was born here. He's going to die here. As an insurance, we're gonna get to see him retire.
Do you think so? This, yeah, exactly.
Year.
It's that fucking Rick and Morty bit where he goes into the game and he becomes a fucking carpet salesman. He survived and just dies.
Survived cancer and you came back to sell fucking rugs. Yeah.
But what? So this show is meant to be the biggest thing in the planet, right?
Yes. There's a lot of shots of people. It's actually the same people, but there's a lot of shots of people watching it and being like super compelled by
it. So do you think, given that this show is basically, I don't know, the Super Bowl and the World Cup and everything rolled together into one, right? Yeah. Do you think it is possible that they could have had Truman leave the dome and just had everyone in the world play along?
Yeah. So... yes, of course. Like, well, not everybody. And
wouldn't that be more interesting?
People would want to. Yeah, exactly. But even that idea that he's gonna like leave to another, like at the end. All right, so I'm gonna jump all the way to the end.
Okay.
At the end, there's a part where Ed Harris talks to him, right?
Yes.
And Ed Harris could have been like, Truman, come on, man, this is how we all live.
Right.
Yeah, like, you can't leave because we all live like this. Like, and then, you know what I mean? But he's like, no, there's a bigger world out there. And, you know, like, he knows. But you're right. They never had to expose him. And even in the last minute.
The world out there is bad. It's like, no, it's the same.
Yeah, it could have been like, everything is fake for everybody, you know?
Which, I mean, I guess the movie's trying kind of say maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's too on the nose. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I do want to talk about Ed Harris, though. This is like the middle of the Ed Harris like run.
Yeah.
Like massive Ed Harris-ness.
Ed Harris had an awesome
run. You're talking about Apollo 13. Yeah. You're talking about The Rock. You're talking about this movie.
The 90s were a good decade for Ed Harris.
Yeah. He had a really good run.
Yeah. He's like a late. Also, Paul Giamatti.
Yeah.
Who once again shows up in a cameo.
That's right. We talked about him back in Best Friend's Wedding. This is another early Paul Giamatti when he's not Paul Giamatti yet. He's just...
Yeah, he's not a big actor.
He's that guy at this point. At this point, if you're watching this movie in 1998, he's like you're like,
character,
hey, I've seen that guy. He's in some stuff. I've seen him in some stuff. I kind of like him. He's good.
Yeah. But yeah, and then after, once he makes it big, he's not making like giant movies anymore.
Probably. No, it's all like art house stuff.
Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yeah. Yeah, who can forget his star torn in Amazing Spider-Man 2 that he's in for fucking 3 minutes.
Yep. Was he Smoking Aces or not Smoking Aces? It's the other one.
Shoot 'em up. He's definitely in him. Shoot 'em up.
Yeah, he's in Shoot 'em up. He's a bad guy. Shoot 'em up. Once Paul Giamatti became like a household name, he was just making art house stuff.
Well, and also Shoot 'em up was, I think, a pretty massive failure.
Yeah,
if I remember right. Yeah.
But before that, all his biggest movies, he was just a cameo in him.
That's right. yeah, for sure.
He was a successful cameo guy.
Yep.
And then he became a successful-ish
lead. independent lead.
Yeah. But Ed Harris is great in this movie.
Yeah, Ed Harris is very good in this movie. Yeah. Ed Harris is very good in a lot of movies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's still really good. Like, the last thing I think I saw him in was that first season of Westworld. He fucking rules.
Yeah. His character is very interesting. It's a very interesting character. And I wish there would have... First of all, I wish it was an R-rated movie. Or at least a PG-13 movie. It's a PG movie, so... It never talks about certain shit that they should talk about.
It is a weird movie to... I mean, there's nothing specifically in the movie, obviously, that would make it R-rated, which is why it's not.
Right.
But considering that this is a kind of esoteric movie that's about a lot of philosophical big picture stuff, it's a weird movie to be like, hey, we got to make sure like 8-year-olds can come see it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Or to be like, we got to keep it light, guys. Yeah. Got to keep it light. Come on, everybody, not too heavy. Like, we don't want... Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's the Jim Carrey factor. Maybe it's the fact that every fucking middle schooler in the world was seeing every Jim Carrey movie. I don't know.
It was probably darker in script.
Yeah.
And then Jim Carrey... And I bet
as soon as they signed Jim Carrey, they're like, no,
PG.
Anything,
Jim Carrey signed on to it because it was darker and he wanted to do darker stuff. Like, and then as soon as they're like, no, we need families to come to this.
Rewrite.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You want to make fucking real money?
Yeah.
You need
we gotta make 130 mil. So, yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, you could see how the industry itself betrayed this movie. Because
ironic because the movie is about the industry betraying many of its fine actors and real people that it kidnaps a child.
Yeah, they buy a baby. I think,
they make a slave.
Yeah,
they buy a slave child.
Yeah, and it's like when you look at Boyhood, it's an interesting art thing. You know what I mean? It's like an interesting performance art. Like you could tune in whenever. That I buy. You can tune in whenever and watch this guy. But,
and again, Boyhood is what, 2.5 hours?
Yeah.
Not 29 years.
Yeah, exactly. You can tune in whenever and watch this guy. Like, that's something that's compelling, but it would not be a fucking huge hit in any way. You know what I mean? But in this movie, it's the biggest show of all time.
Yeah.
Anyway, we get Truman wants to go to Fiji.
Why does he want to go to Fiji? We don't know this for a good long while.
Yeah.
But he wants to go to Fiji. However, he cannot leave the island.
He has a thing where he has to go on a ferry and he won't get on the ferry.
Right. They send him. So they basically do this to fuck with him.
Yes. Because he's thinking, so much of this to fuck with him.
I mean, I think part of it is because he mentions wanting to go to Fiji and they're like, nah, we're going to squash this shit.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy, why don't you take the ferry?
Yeah.
Because there's a job out there and you're an insurance guy. You got to go do your insurance work.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what they're like crushing his dreams.
Yep. Ed Harris is a monster. Harris is a monster in this movie.
Again, a much more compelling character in a darker film.
Yes. Watch. I mean, the movie, as you said, the movie where we see this from the perspective of Ed Harris as just this dark Machiavellian god figure.
Right.
Or the movie where we see it from Laura Linney's perspective as just this like fame obsessed, like spiraling into a fake relationship that she hates while she tries to have a real relationship on the outside.
And like, because there is a part where she's like desperate to go to work.
Yeah.
And Jim Carrey's like, no, why you gotta go to work? And she's like, I have to go to work. And it was a weird reaction. At first I was like, that was a weird reaction from her, but I was like, oh, it's because it's her, that's the only time that she gets to like have a life,
right?
Yeah, because she has to sleep with this guy and shit.
Yep.
And that's so much more compelling. She gets like 10 hours out of it, 8 hours out of the day to have
even a little bit,
and everything else is work
with like the friend who clearly, like, they kind of hint at it, clearly like took this job as a child, took this job as like 4 years old, and then thought like, oh, I'll be an actor though, like I'll go do movies and have a life, and now is just stuck in this fucking world with this guy he doesn't even like,
that he has to like pretend to like and say and bail him out all that fucking time, like because he's always so sad sack about shit.
Exactly.
Yeah,
Truman wouldn't be a great best friend.
No, he's not.
Like, Truman's not a fun... Like, they show them hanging out and palling around a lot, but their palling around is just him listening to Truman be sad.
Yeah, yeah, and want to do something else.
It's not,
and not fucking do
it. Not a super fun... Like, I know when I've hanged out with my friends, the funnest times we've ever had wasn't just one of us being very sad.
Yep. Or very unhappy in your fucking situation. Yeah, and also... A movie like this where Ed Harris is a legitimate bad guy.
Right.
Where he's like controlling people. Like, let's say we get a scene where Laura Linney's like, I quit. And he's like, you'll quit when I fucking tell you to quit.
Right.
And it becomes like this fucking like power hungry, which is obviously what he is. You know what I mean?
But if they really play it up.
But if they really play it up, it's a better movie. Then and then also like a better kind of like example of what the industry does to people and shit like that. You know what I mean? But it doesn't do that. It plays everything too light.
Yeah.
Too light. And that's a problem. That's a problem with this movie. And it probably is Jim Carrey is the problem with this movie.
And this is why we talk. So we watched this movie, what, 5 days ago?
Yeah.
And then for scheduling reasons, we couldn't record till tonight. And when we sat down, we're like, do you remember anything about this movie? Like, is it just, have you thought about this movie once in the last five days?
Since we watched it, I was like, nope.
Has one second of this movie meant anything to you in the last fucking 120 hours?
Yeah, exactly. Where, you know, even if I watch it now, like if we would have watched Man on the Moon, I would have thought about that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Quite a bit. It's a great movie.
Yeah. Last time I watched Man on the Moon, which was maybe like 2 years ago, I definitely thought about that movie for a while.
Yeah. And I hadn't seen it in a long time. And I was like, man, that was
really good.
Yeah, but
and interesting and like has stuff.
Yeah. Real fucking drama and a real character that, you know, like makes you question fucking what people are and what they're willing to do and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's too light. It's too light.
But it's too light. It's the fucking whipped cream sandwich.
The most interesting thing.
You're like, what? There's no ice cream in there? No, just whipped cream.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lame. I'm not really. Yeah. This isn't really. It's like. Still hungry.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's not going to do the job. Yeah. Take it, I guess. Yeah. Even talking about this movie, the best thing about it, or the best conversations, are the like what ifs.
Yes.
Or like the things that you have to think that the movie doesn't fucking.
Right.
Like set up, like give you, you know? Like when you think about like, oh, this is a big giant dome. They set it up. They're like, this is the big, it's like the second biggest man-made wonder.
Structure. Yeah. It's next to the Great Wall. Yeah. Yeah.
So even that, even the idea that this, what is a crew like? What is on the dome? How do they control the sun? Like all that stuff. Yeah. The movie gives you none.
So, hey, so here's a pitch then. Truman Show, the Netflix series.
Yeah.
Where we actually follow, you have an episode that's just following the crew. You have an episode that's following Ed Harris. You have an episode that's following Laura Linney. Is that a better, if this is a 10 episode Netflix series, that a better movie than this movie?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think you're right, actually.
I think so. As much as it was, it's not a bad, and it's actually pretty well directed.
Yeah. It's Peter Weir.
Peter Weir, yeah.
Who we've talked about in Good Will Hunting, Witness.
Yeah. Not Good Will Hunting, Dead Poets Society.
Oh, sorry, yeah. I always confuse those two for some reason.
It's the three.
It's the Robin Williams aspect of it and the name, I guess. I don't know.
And the academic, the three-name academic.
Academic movies.
Movie with Robin Williams, yeah.
Yeah, Dead Poets Society, Witness.
Yeah.
Both very good movies.
Yeah.
So Master and Commander was also him.
Yeah, which I was surprised because that's a really awesome like action drama piece.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's pretty well directed. Obviously, it's well acted. Everybody's does a pretty good job.
Good cast.
Yeah.
Good performances.
Yeah. And again, like the score is really good. So like all the elements are there. It's just fluffy.
Yep.
Like that's the problem. It's just fluffy. And I wanted heavier. I wanted bigger questions to be asked. And
yeah.
And it never kind of gets that point. But anyway, so back to the plot.
Well, again, it's a PG movie. They took all of these big heavy things and they were like, yeah, but for 9-year-olds.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But what if Jim Carrey? Let's just break everything down to, what if Jim Carrey was in a show and he didn't know he was in a show? And let's just keep doing that over and over again. And that's it. That's all we want.
That's it. So anyways, the plot.
We just started getting like a sense. He's starting to figure like
slowly but surely, little things that don't make any sense start adding up, where he notices all the weird behavior a little bit.
And yeah.
So what? It's the radio. Like he breaks the radio,
accidentally
like tunes into the conversation that all the like Teamsters are having.
Yeah. And there's a part where like he, which I thought was really funny, where he's gonna go into the elevator and then the back is open and there's a dude like craft services.
Like
it was actually pretty funny looking.
It is, yeah.
Like that was a funny, because it could have just been like lights or a camera or something, but it was a funny to have.
They're like, no, let's get this extra in here.
Yeah. It was pretty funny. So he's starting to get a sense, but also once again.
You know that extra too was so fun, and he should be, because his performance was great. But I bet he was telling everybody I'm like, look at this fucking performance I give. Look at this moment. This is my break.
Yeah, and then they like quickly fucking close it back off. Yeah, that was pretty good. Yeah, he's getting like a sense of, and we also find out. All right, here's another thing that the movie does not play on that would have been more interesting to play on. He is. Weirdly obsessed with a girl from fucking high school.
Yeah, he's a serial killer.
He is very, weirdly obsessed. Like, a point that if you're...
He's 30 years old, right?
Yeah,
He's supposed to be like 30 years old or 29, maybe.
Yeah, he's getting...
So it's been a decade past high school. He is cutting out pictures of magazines to try and reassemble this girl's face.
Yeah, it is... Like, if you're that girl and if you see that, you're like red flags. Like, like she would not... And then in this one, she's still kind of like in.
Yeah, no, she's into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's the girl from Ronin.
It's a girl from Ronin. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's pretty. And she, but her thing, so that's why he wants to go to Fiji.
Right. Because so we finally get this flashback where they're in high school.
They're clearly high school students.
Right. Clearly 30-year-old high school students. 30 Jim Carrey looking exactly the same in no way different.
Yeah, that was my only that's the only time that I was like, oh, Peter Weir, man, like the director, like, don't do too many close-ups on the crow's feet. There's a lot of wrinkles on their faces.
But yeah, so they're clearly in high school. Obviously Ed Harris or the rest of the writers or whatever have decided that Laura Linney's going to be the new love interest.
Right.
But what's this?
Yeah.
Who's this exotic,
this girl,
beautiful woman?
Gets his attention.
Yes.
And then right away she's like, I'm not supposed to talk to you.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, why not? I mean, which is a cool thing to hear if you're a dude in high school trying to talk to a chick.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then you're doing that George Costanza thing when you're not supposed to talk to me. Like, I'm a bad guy. I'm kind of a bad boy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, she's like, I'm not supposed to talk to you. And he's like, why not? Like, is it because of Laura Linney? Because, you know, we're just like friends and stuff.
Or you have a boyfriend. Yeah.
And then she's the first, supposedly, but I mean, no, she's not the, she's like the, not the first person, because they show a couple other times where people try to tell him that he's in the show.
Right. But she, you find out that she was part, or is part of this group that wants to, like, free him.
Free him. Yeah. Exactly.
They, for some strange reason, they have seen that this slave baby who has been raised in only lies.
Whose property of the studio.
Whose property of a fucking giant multi-fucking billion-dollar corporation.
Yep.
Should be freed.
Yeah, for some reason they're against
crazy
it.
Lady.
Yeah. When the Hall of America loves it so much.
Yeah.
She's like, we can meet. But it has to be.
It
like,
has to be right now.
Right now.
We have so then they right run now. Off to the beach and they have this very romantic time. And then her quote unquote father shows up,
yeah.
drags her away.
She's trying to tell him.
Yeah.
Like, none of this is real.
And yeah. Her father. And although I do like that every time it happens, nobody ever comes out and says, like, hey, this is a television show. They're just like, Truman, you got to understand. Yeah. Yeah. There's stuff that's
it.
Going on. Yeah. And like, reality is not reality. Yeah. And, like, you know, exactly. Yeah. They never are just like, hey, Truman Show, that's a camera. This is a camera. Yeah. This is a camera. You're on television,
You're on television right now.
It's
exactly.
all been a big. Yeah. No, they're just like, no, reality isn't what you like. They sound
what
like
you
fucking.
Think it is. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They're all just fucking like 19 year olds high on pot. Yeah. They just went through their first fucking philosophy class.
Yeah, exactly.
They're just like, no, man.
Existential about shit. And like,
I just watched Matrix for the first time and it's real.
Yeah, none of this is really happening. Like, you think it is and you think these are your friends, but they're not really your friends. Yeah. You don't even know who they are. Yeah, nobody's just like,
So fucking classic sitcom bullshit.
Yeah, she lays that on him and then the dad shows up and she's like, I've never seen this man before in my life. And then, I mean, good on Ed Harris for pulling that card out where he's just like, she's schizophrenic.
She's crazy, yeah.
Yeah,
It's like, it's not the first time that she takes all her boyfriends to this beach trying to, like, you know, dig it into him.
Yeah,
and then
because
it's like,
they like fucking with him.
We're leaving. We're going to Fiji.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was probably an improv, right?
Yeah,
like, that guy was just, Ed Harris was just like, just get her out of there. Get her out of there. She's crazy. You're leaving town.
Yeah.
Go.
And then,
so now he's obsessed with Fiji.
Yeah, so that's why he wants to go to Fiji.
Yeah.
But he's not obsessed with Fiji. He's obsessed with her. And he
exactly.
Yeah. And that cutting out the magazine, Peter, it's insane.
You know, they could have just been like, he wants to leave because he's tired of being trapped.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. Again, they had to fluff it up more.
Yeah. They had to add the fluff.
He could also just been looking at a picture that he saved where she's like in the background or something like that.
Yeah.
But no, he's cutting out magazine pictures trying to recreate his face.
Yeah. It could have just been like he had the high school yearbook.
Yeah.
And he just like had it down there, and it's still a little creepy. But you're like, oh, he's still you know, he's crushed, whatever. Yeah, it's fine.
Remembers her fondly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But no, cutting out pictures of magazines and then like cutting out like eyes and
like,
mouths and pasting them together.
This
No, no, wrong.
Yeah,
then getting really upset and throwing it all around. It's all wrong. It's not her at all.
Again, a more compelling film. Just a better fucking film.
Yeah.
And a better character study of what you do to a man
when
you're doing that.
Fucking destroy him for 30 years.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But no, you know, he wanted to get on the boat.
Yeah.
So we also find out that his dad drowned. And
right.
That's why he's afraid of the water.
They were afraid because he wanted to be an explorer as a baby child.
As a child, yeah.
That they created this idea of, him and his dad go out on a boat. dad dies.
They created serious trauma for him.
They totally, like, the most serious trauma as a fucking six-year-old. Yeah.
And just America's to keep like, him. That was awesome.
That was amazing. Now he's never going to leave.
Yeah, yeah. We get to watch him from now on.
Forever.
In town, forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, so they make him grieve a fucking father.
Yeah.
And then the reason this comes up is because the father comes back.
Right.
He like sneaks on. First of all, I don't know how people are sneaking into this fucking
place.
Other than getting vetted and pretending to be actors and then getting in. You know what I mean? But this guy obviously already. He's like a homeless looking.
Yeah.
And he shows up and he just sees him. And then – and also another funny moment that I did like. It was like when that business lady and the guy just pick him up and put him on the bus.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a very funny thing to happen.
It was. I also realized that would be an interesting episode. This like washed up actor who was part of the biggest show and then got killed off. And then it's been like for 10, 15 years, he's been trying to get into other things. He just can never get on like every audition. No, you're just the guy from Truman Show.
He comes up with this great fucking plan to get back on the show.
It's just like a fucking spiraling out of control actor. Now that's fucking compelling. Yeah.
And then he shows up looking like shit, and then now they have to put him back in the fucking show, and that's exactly what they do. So he did it. He like gets back on.
I mean, the show ends shortly after that.
Yes.
Which is like the great tragedy of that father character.
Of again,
finally,
a more compelling character.
More compelling character. Yeah, finally gets there.
Yeah,
only for the show to end like a week later.
Yep. Yeah. It's like the wrestler type of thing where you've just seen a guy whose life is nothing, and then at the end it's like, oh yeah, he's going back to that now.
Yep.
So we get that. We find out that through this heavy drama, that's why he can't pass over water. But he knows that there's planes, right?
Sure. But it still goes over water. But there's no planes out of the island.
Yeah, there's no airport.
So even when he's crossing on the very structurally sound bridge...
Yes.
With his wife, he has to close his eyes and let her drive.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, he it's pretty deep. He can't even drive over one. Yeah. Like, they
really fucked that kid up.
They
really
fucked
that boy's brain.
Really. Yeah. Yeah. Really. But they did some research onto
how to really
real drama. Yeah. Real trauma.
They brought a consulting psychologist on just to be like, how do we really fuck this 6-year-old's brain?
Yep.
How do we just get in there and twist the shit out of it?
Well, you know, you kill the dad if you want him to have fears and shit like that.
I mean, you wouldn't want to do that. Obviously, it would just do the trauma to the child. No. We got it. Kill the father.
Implications. No,
we're good.
Done.
We're good. We
Doc,
killed the father.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah, thanks. Here's your check. Here's your check. Bye. Yeah. Bye-bye. Well, no, but you can't actually. No, yeah, bye-bye. Yeah. Bye-bye.
You shouldn't play God with me. No. It's fine. Yeah, so he starts figuring it out. There's a lot of like little hints that he's starting to get. And then there's a part which is also very weird. Where the people just do the same shit over and over again?
Yes.
So he notices that people are doing the same shit
over
and over again.
Which, especially when he's watching. So Ed Harris is always watching him, or Paul Giamatti or whoever, right?
Somebody's always watching him.
He's watching these people for like 5 hours.
Yeah.
At what point would they be like,
don't do that again?
Yeah. Because they're on comms like the whole time.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, he's noticing. Don't stop.
Change it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They don't do that.
They don't. It's almost like they wanted him to.
It's almost like this is a video game.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you can't. But yeah, and then he decides like he's going to go for it. Well, that's also the part where Laura Linney's like desperate to go to work.
He freaks out and...
Yeah. And he's like, why? Why do you want to go to work? And then that's... You know, he starts to get it. She's crossing her fingers during the wedding.
Right. During his, he finds a wedding picture where, she's crossing her fingers.
Which I thought
was... Which, not legally binding, by the way.
Yeah.
If you just cross your fingers while doing the vows, I don't think that makes a difference.
I don't think
you get out of your divorce. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't get to keep all your shit when you get divorced just because you were crossing your fingers.
He's also reaching. He's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
She didn't actually marry me.
Yep.
Like, what? Like, one picture... Where her fingers are crossed. Like, what are you talking about?
Right.
Yeah. He sees that picture when they're visiting his mom, or his mom is visiting him. That's what it is, because it's going to be his birthday or something.
Something like that. Shit. I don't know. She's showing... Well, they're trying to get him really interested in the idea of having kids and being part of this family and forget about that other stuff. Just focus on this.
Yeah.
And yeah, so they're showing him pictures and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So then that's when he decides to question Laura Linney, and then he takes her on the car chase thing, which is actually not bad. That's
pretty cool.
Yeah. He crosses the bridge. I'm guessing crossing the bridge, you're still in the dome, right?
Right, because then they have the whole fire thing and the like the plant that is going.
Yeah, the power plant. Down.
Yeah, exactly. Like they chase him down.
Yeah, and he runs away, and they chase him down, and then he just wakes up back inside of the inside of the town. Yeah, so he, you know, like it's.
You gave us a real scare there, buddy.
Yeah.
There's also actually the picture part. There is a really funny bit where they're at Mount Rushmore. Oh, yeah.
It's just clearly like a fucking cutout of Mount Rushmore behind him.
Really funny.
It's like it looks smaller than. But again, why expose him to what the whole world is actually like if you want him to stay there the whole time?
Exactly.
Unless the whole point is that eventually he'll want to leave.
Right.
But if that clearly is not
the point, I think I mean, no, it's not. I think what they're trying to go for is like, no, this is a real person in the real world.
Mm-hmm. No, but it's still like 1950s. But
it's still like 1950s. Yeah.
It's not like the 90s. It was like, he wasn't listening to hip hop.
I know, right?
Yeah.
No, he wasn't reading about the extreme adventures of Wolverine and his X-Men buddies with his bone claws.
Yeah. At no point does anybody. And does anybody say, holy shit, have you seen how the Bulls are doing?
Right. Yeah, this is 1998 with no Michael Jordan.
Yeah, yeah.
Preposterous.
Ridiculous. Yeah, that would be like half of the conversations at any workplace.
And they're up in Maine, so I mean, they're all Celtics fans, right? They're not talking any Celtics ball. They're not talking New England. They're not fucking the Patriots were in the Super Bowl in 96. They're not talking about that.
You still talk about the Patriots? Yeah. Yeah, nope. So that's like some parts are supposed to be the real world, some parts are not.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Again, the movie drops the ball on that aspect. But yeah, so then
no one's talking about Dumb and Dumber. I mean, that was a giant hit. It was a huge hit. Yeah.
Everybody should have been talking. That would also have been interesting is if it's
in a world where Jim Carrey exists.
You get this was a pre being John Malkovich, right?
Yes. Yeah. John Malkovich, I think, was 99.
Yeah. So it was, and you can even go, if you went that way, then it's a better fucking overall movie.
Although then you also get that Ocean's 12 thing where Julia Roberts is also Julia Roberts, but she's a character in the movie that looks like Julia. It gets weird.
Yeah. Super weird. Then that's when he decides, like, he figures it out. Kind of like he has actually a really good scene with Laura Linney where he threatens her, and it's pretty good. He threatens her with that fucking stupid tool that they're selling or something.
Oh, yeah. It's like a slicer, dicer, peeler.
Yeah. And then he grabs her and she yells out, like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, or somebody stop this.
Yeah.
Or not somebody. She says, like, specific, like, you have to stop this.
Yeah, something like
and
that.
And then he's like, what do you mean? What does that mean? And then the friend shows up with a six-pack of beer.
Yep, as he always does. And I love that he grabs this. Like, it's very, very specific that he's like, all right, let me take this fucking six-pack in with me while I'm stopping domestic abuse.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's very buddy. Funny.
Yeah, it's super.
Come have a beer.
And it's scary, like yeah, Laura Linney is legitimate danger kind of at that point. Yeah, and it's so fucking weird. And then that's when they go off and they talk about shit and how he wants to like be out of there and all that stuff. But and that's when Ed Harris does that interview.
Yeah, well, and I think that's when the dad comes back for real.
Yes,
because that's when he has
outside sitting. Yeah,
yeah,
and then he's like crane shot. That's when we get
doing the dialogue. We have Ed Harris doing the dialogue while the actor, the befriend actor, is saying
and he's directing. He's like, give me a big crane shot.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like the music swells. And,
exactly,
like,
and you have the Paul Giamatti close up. No. Wait.
Yeah. Exactly. That's when you get like the behind the scenes thing, and then they're like, perfect. Now we solved this problem of him figuring it out.
Because and like the fucking execs come in and they're just like, brilliant, Christoph. Brilliant.
Nobody's talking about Laura Linney fucking possibly suing them for putting her in danger.
Right.
Also making her sleep with him a lot.
A lot, yeah.
Yeah. Again,
unless they've somehow tricked him into thinking sex is something different. Although they're trying to have a baby, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although I don't know, I mean, because she clearly doesn't love him, but she's okay with having his baby.
Maybe they're like fish, you know, where she's like, oh no, you like masturbate into this thing.
Well, but yeah, I know,
and that's sex.
Yeah,
I put some eggs over there.
Christoph, fucking Ed Harris, says that he wants the first on-air conception.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. He does say that. Which means that, I mean...
Maybe, but they don't show the fucking.
Maybe that's why the show has such high ratings. Maybe they do show the fucking.
Well, no, they say specifically they always cut away from
it. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
There's the two security guards are like, they don't show anything anyways. They always just show a fucking bottle of water or whatever he says, like a clock.
Like pan right to a fucking clock. Although if they keep the mics on, that's pretty good.
That's something.
It's very funny.
Yeah. Just hearing Jim Carrey.
Weird Jim Carrey orgasm sometimes he has.
I'm sure. There's no way Jim Carrey orgasms like a normal person.
Mm. No. He probably yells out.
Yeah. Strange like things. A glove.
Yeah. So then that's what he has the interview and they're like, you're the and this is Harry Shearer.
Yes. Once again, that's right.
Another Harry Shearer.
Harry Shearer, yeah.
And both him and
Paul Giamatti were just in Best Friend's Wedding.
Yeah, yeah. So
they're a team.
Yeah, you get one, you get them both.
Buy one, get one free at the agency.
Maybe they do. Maybe they're friends, and it's just like, I could just ask Paul Giamatti if you want.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, he was that guy from My Best Friend's Wedding.
Yeah, so he's great. A
couple other movies. Yeah. He's not
like, well, I mean, you're the voice of fucking 1,000 characters on The Simpsons, so sure, we believe you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't need more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all the qualifications I need for a casting agent to help us cast this movie. But yeah, so he at this point talks about how Laura Linney is going to be written out of the show,
right?
And they're bringing
introducing
in
a new love interest who is one of his coworkers,
right? One of his coworkers, and then it's so like again a new coworker,
potentially interesting, right? Fucking affair at work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now it's starting to get, but Ed Harris is so big about it, keeping it fucking normal.
Yeah.
That, like, you never let him have dramatic moments that would actually be interesting.
No, because they're going to have Laura Linney leave him first before they even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When he should be like, I'm losing my mind, and this chick came into play, and now everything is kind of like feeling normal.
Yeah, again, yeah.
You know, stuff like that. So it doesn't, like, they don't play that up at all.
No.
But by this time, he knows that it's a show.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't know it's a show, but he knows that something's wrong.
Somebody's watching him.
Yeah. Somebody's watching him. Something's happening.
Yeah. So he devises an escape plan.
Right.
He like fakes. It's actually like pretty extensive. Like he made like snoring sounds and stuff.
He pulls a Ferris Bueller.
Yeah. He pulls a full Ferris Bueller. Yeah. It's like a reel to reel too. Just snoring sounds. And then he makes a fake. Like they were like, he was cleaning the garage, the basement.
Right.
And
basement.
Then he fell asleep in it. Because Laura Linney kicked him out of bed, obviously.
But they think this is completely normal because, again, this is the most boring show on earth where we just watch a guy take a nap.
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
They're like, this is one of those nap episodes again.
God damn it, another nap episode? Tired of this shit.
Yeah, just describing that. Like, what happened today? He was cleaning the garage, the basement, and then he fell asleep in it.
Yeah.
Like, did you tune in? Did you watch that episode where he was cleaning the basement and then fell asleep in it?
It's like, so famously, anime has the recap episodes where pretty much every anime, like halfway through the series, will have an episode that just recaps what happened before.
Right.
But there is those few just special shows that have the double recap where they have a recap episode, but it only covers half.
Yep.
And so then they have another recap episode right after.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Absolutely brutal. But The Truman Show, it's fucking 90% recap shows.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if he's not asleep, if he's not on the bathroom, they've got fucking Harry Shearer doing the fucking talking Truman.
Yeah. 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 The Truman.
Truman After Show fucking podcast that he does, but while Truman's sleeping.
Yeah, I'm assuming because that's the only
thing. Like, today on Truman's Show, he went to his fucking boring ass job and then he had a beer with his friend.
Yeah.
And then he came home
and
him and his wife watched a movie.
Yeah.
And then they went to bed.
Yep. And then they talked about the movie for a little bit and then they went to sleep.
Yeah.
And then what are they going to do tomorrow? The same exact thing you just fucking saw. And he's going to do some gardening on the weekend.
Yep.
He's going to talk to some of the actors that we have.
Yep.
And that's it.
From
now on, in perpetuity.
Yep.
Fingers crossed, in perpetuity, this is all we'll see for 35 years.
If we are blessed by the gods to be that lucky.
Yeah. I mean, if you make a YouTube recap of the best moments of Truman Show.
15 minutes.
15 minutes, yeah.
And that's after 30 years.
Some cool little kid shit.
Yeah.
And then after that, as soon as Maybe some like.
Like there was definitely some moments. There's definitely some moments, but again, you're talking about you gotta. That's the reason why we have editing.
Mm-hmm.
Because those moments, that's 5%, 1%,
it's
half a percent.
It's the reason why the age old question, like, why don't we ever see characters go to the bathroom? It's because it's fucking boring and it's not part of anything.
Right.
So we cut that
out. I don't need 2 minutes of a guy peeing. Don't need it. Interesting.
I mean, unless it's Tom Hanks in the
other room. That's a good point. That's a good point.
It's very, very
but
funny.
Then it's like 15 minutes. I think. I'm pretty sure it was 15 minutes.
It's very funny. Yeah. It's very, very funny. But yeah, it's hard to get around this fucking concept.
Yeah, yeah. Anyways, he runs off. They all search him. This is where Ed Harris is like, cut the feed.
And I was like, that's the most interesting thing that has happened in his whole fucking life.
Yeah, in 30 years of this show.
Of them
they're like, no, cut the feed.
Yeah. He also, there's a weird thing where everybody just stops.
Yeah.
And I was like, why? Why don't they be like, everybody take fucking five. We got to find them. And all the actors are like, oh, cool. I get to go hit the fucking crap service.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to start smoking and talk to each other and shit like that.
I can but stop pretending just, like, to be this nonsense thing.
Stop moving like fucking robots.
Again.
Yeah. That's just for the visual of to put that shit in the trailer.
Yeah.
So he runs off.
And again, it's because the extras in this movie act like NPCs in a video game.
Exactly. Yeah. They're just wandering around. Or they're like a... They're like the in Inception, those dream people.
Yes, eventually exactly.
Turn, which, you know, they kind of do. They're all trying to find him. And Ed Harris makes his son come right back up.
Yep.
So they can try to find him. Giving himself away.
Oh, well, also before that, the fucking moon turns into a spotlight.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, totally normal Truman. We're just trying to find Truman. Totally normal thing. Back to normal.
Well, also... once again, and that was another part that I laughed at, was his friend shows up in a fucking panic with a six pack of beer. He's like, Truman, buddy, come on, where are you at? Where are you at, buddy? And then he comes out and he looks at the camera and he's like, he's gone. And then Harris is like, why did he break character? Like, Harris is mad. And I'm like, again, this is important. This is the most fucking interesting thing that's happened to dude's whole entire life.
Yep.
And we're not watching it. The fuck is that, man? But yeah, you're right. Like, they turn the moon into a spotlight. So Ed Harris gives it all away.
Immediately.
If he was wondering if he's having a mental health crisis,
right,
it's gone.
You could easily gaslight this guy back into his normal life at this point.
Yeah.
But not once. I guess maybe at that point you can still be like, no, you hallucinated the whole thing. Moon's not a spotlight.
Yeah, exactly. Or you have like a backup where you just like put him to sleep and he wakes up and you're like, you had a mental breakdown.
Do you think you could coma him for 5 years and people would still watch the show?
But like, it's kind of what he was doing when he was alive.
All right. Same
shit. Like, we get to see that nurse come and the watch spin-off? His
pencils. Yeah. The spinoff nurse show or ER show, but where Truman's just a fucking vegetable in the background whole time.
Yeah. I wonder if eventually it would just become a soap opera. They're like, well, nobody really likes his mom and wife talking about shit. Let's give him some shit to talk about. They're actors. Everybody knows that they're actors. So that part is gone. So let's start giving him some shit. And eventually it's just a soap opera with Truman fucking in a coma in the background. But now there's like real like drama that they wrote and like people are fucking getting kidnapped and shit.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, because like, they're actors.
They find a guy that kind of looks like Jim Carrey to play Truman's brother. Now he's involved in all kinds of hijinks. Exactly. He ends up fucking Laura Linney. Yeah.
Like, man, that show took a turn, but it's a lot more fun now.
Yeah, it's way more interesting, actually, and better.
Yeah, so the higher stakes. So he
gets on a boat.
He gets on a boat, and, you know, he's terrified of water. But I feel like once you know, also bringing that, once you know that your dad didn't die.
That lessens the trauma?
It probably lessens the trauma somewhat, and it makes you question like why you're afraid of that shit. You know what I mean?
True.
So anyway, he's on the boat, and then Ed Harris is like, bring in a big fucking storm. Let's like kill this guy.
Yeah.
Which they could have gone with that. And they do a little bit in the movie.
Yeah, they could have a little bit if Ed Harris is just like, if I can't have him, no one will. Yeah.
If you upplay Ed Harris, if you make him Peter O'Toole and the stuntman, where he's just like putting this guy through the fucking grinder.
Right.
And we're all like a part of it, you know what I mean? Like, because we're
the audience. Yeah, exactly.
Because we're the audience and we're the ones doing it. But he's a legitimate bad guy.
Right.
It's just better. But in this one, he's just like, he goes overboard a little bit when they're like, no, but he's attached to the boat. And
He'll drown. Yeah.
And Paul Giamatti tells him and that's, you know, it's an interesting part of the movie. It's like the higher stakes and the only time that the movie gets really exciting.
Yeah.
Is during this. So he's on this fucking quest. He's going to get off the island. They're throwing lightning at him. Like, they have a weather machine in there, which, again,
the most expensive show of all time. Yeah.
It's about the weather machine.
The weather machine.
Yeah.
They just fucking, it just, the one episode of the Netflix show just links you to the movie Geostorm.
All the weather satellites. Yeah, there's a part two where they make it rain just on him. And I was like, what was that for? Like, why? Other than for the trailer to have that.
It's the trailer moment,
like,
man.
Why would it make it just rain on him if that's not how rain works and he knows that, you know?
Right.
Like, I just said, her being like, huh. That was funny.
Pretty much.
I mean, rain just on him.
Yeah, just make the rain follow him. It's fucking great.
Yeah, so he makes
the fucking Charlie Brown shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That would also been funny if they just play that up. Like, they're just making his life
constantly worse, making him miserable.
Yeah. Yeah. But he makes it. He makes it to the... He survives because Ed Harris pulls back.
Right, eventually. And then he lives.
I was thinking,
how much fun would this movie, or how much more fun would this movie and show be, and by the show, I mean the actual Truman Show that millions of people in the world are watching, evidently, if he had a wisecracking dog.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah.
You could put, again, or if he was, if his coworker was a talking dinosaur.
I know we go back to that Theodore Rex well a lot, but... Come on, man. You can't go wrong.
Yeah, exactly. So many possibilities with a talking dinosaur that works in the fucking, like,
or
in the
instead of just
next to his.
Couldn't he have just been the partner of one robot cop?
Yeah, exactly. One Murphy'd roboted cop?
I mean, come on.
You can do whatever you want in this fucking world. And they
really
chose
can.
1950s America. Yeah. You could,
and not just, even a fun, like, getting into fucking hot rod races and cutting people away. Yeah.
There's no fonts in this one.
No fonts.
Yeah. Even in his high school, like, they're like nerdy. He's like studying.
Yeah.
Is what he's doing. He's not getting into fucking trouble. He's not getting drunk in a bonfire out in the fucking woods.
Nope.
Like a lot of high school kids do. Like, he's just studying really hard.
Yeah.
He's at the library and they're like, we got to go to the dance. And he's like, but I got this test. Like,
yeah.
They made the most boring person that you could. Just in this idea that we'll watch a boring person till they die.
Yeah. I mean, we're doing it with Joe Biden.
I mean, but at least Joe Biden he's still kind of like Clint Eastwood playing Joe Biden.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's more interesting, certainly, than Truman, for sure.
It's still more interesting to see Joe Biden get flustered at shit than it is to watch Truman think about Fiji.
Cutting out a fucking woman's eyes. Unless they just were they, if they had gotten him to full serial killer, maybe they didn't push that trauma hard enough.
Oh, yeah.
If they got him full Dexter.
Yeah, like what if you do that trauma thing and then you get that girl and you pull her out and then he just starts killing cats? Then you're like, wait a minute. Then you have to be like,
we got a show. You're like.
How do we, exactly. Because you can't, that's one of those things, right? Like, you can't cure when people are fucking like that, when people have no connection to other human beings. So then you're like, all right, now we have a show where we have to watch this guy kill people.
Fucking sociopath. Yeah,
sociopath. You can't cure that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a gamble you take, I guess.
Yeah.
But when you kill his father.
It's a gamble they took and lost.
Yeah. So he makes
he makes it out to the end. That's the part you were talking about where Ed Harris comes on the microphone and is like, I've made this beautiful creation. There's nothing out there more real than what's in here.
Yeah.
I'm a genius artist.
Yeah, I wear turtlenecks and a little hat. And
tiny spectacles.
Yeah. Yep. You don't want to go through that door. Trust me. Also, we're not going to lock that door, even though we have the capabilities to lock said door. No. But I don't want you to leave, and I don't want people to see you leaving. Like, I don't know. He's all over the place on that.
But by this point, the feed's back on.
Yeah.
Like, he never turned it back off even after.
Well, he turns it on during the storm.
During the storm, and then never turns it back on when he's like, I'm going to completely break the reality.
Yes, exactly.
And fucking God talk to this guy.
Yeah. Also, he could have just played like, this is God.
Yep. I mean, it is. But no, he could have.
This is God. I control everything, and this is what the world is like.
Yeah.
And then Truman might have been like, holy shit, like, there's a real God. Like, sorry. Sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. I'll be good.
That's all right. Give me five Hail Marys and whatever Catholic bullshit.
In
a
movie where Ed Harris is a legitimate bad guy, he kills somebody in front of Truman to prove You know yeah. what I mean? Or he does something bigger.
It's like, if you're God, prove it to me. And he's like, hey, is that your friend? Yeah, that's my friend. Lightning!
Yep. And kills him. Yeah. 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 And then he's like, he has to make the choice about whether or not, you know. But anyway, no, he decides to walk out the door as, you know, the and whole point the, of the know, fucking movie.
Good. And if I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Yeah, because he tells that to his neighbors.
Yeah, yeah.
And they use that as, their, as his catchphrase.
As his catchphrase. It's yeah. another trailer moment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's another, yeah. Exactly, exactly. So he walks off, and then that's the end of the movie. The movie ends.
He finds freedom. The girl from Ronin celebrates and runs down her hallway to, I guess, go fuck him. I don't know.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that she doesn't live outside the dome, so she still has a long traveling distance.
Yeah, yeah. No, she lives. yeah. She probably lives outside of America, I would imagine. She's a fucking terrorist or something, right?
Yeah, yeah. And also, like, this is assuming that they're just going to let him walk out.
Right.
And leave, and at no point.
I mean, he is their property.
Yeah, they yeah, yeah he belongs to them.
he is owned by the studio.
yeah, he's like, hey, sorry, man, but we bought you outright.
Yeah. yeah. Here's the contract. You can see your parents signed right there. Yeah.
We purchased
Here's the President
out.
Of the United States saying that this was cool.
It was legit, as long as the ratings were there. and they are, trust
they
me.
They are, so. it's like, all right, this goes against the amendment, but this one guy, you're allowed to be a slave.
Yeah. We get
as long
one.
As the ratings are good.
Yep. yeah. so anyway, that's the end
that's
of
the end of Truman Show.
That's the end of the movie. Lukewarm. Yeah. On the second viewing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Lukewarm.
Yeah.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all right. It's not a bad movie by any means.
No.
It wasn't like a shitty movie.
It was definitely up to this point. It was Jim Carrey's best performance.
Yes. Yes. But then he does.
Then the year later, he does.
Although I'm a big fan of the cable guy, Jim Carrey.
Right.
I think that's fucking great because he is a sociopath. But, then a year later he does Man on the Moon.
And then, like, 2 years later, Eternal Sunshine.
Right.
And, yeah.
And then
goes
we're
back like, and we're like, oh, Jim Carrey's a good actor. And then,
he's like, the last 20 I'm going to do Yes Man.
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Number 23 and fucking.
Number 23
was,
so
what was that one word? It's the Dark Crimes.
Dark Crimes, yeah.
Dark Crimes. The most fucking, like, generic name for a, like, a
And it was a straight-to-video.
Mystery thriller, yeah.
Like very like low rating movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where he just has a big beard and he's brooding the whole time. Which is also interesting that I can see why. Again, because the machine, like the big movie making machine, likes the same shit over and over again. But I wish he would have immediately done something that dark right away.
Yeah.
You know, like after he does Dumb and Dumber, he does something crazy dark right away, you know? And then you're like, oh shit, this guy can act. It's like when you get a serious actor and you put him in a fucking crazy comedy and you're like, he's really funny.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
But no, it took him a long time to make a dark, greedy cop drama that everybody fucking hated. Yeah. yeah, yeah, yeah. Everybody hated that. But yeah, so that's the end of the movie.
That brings us to our favorite part of the podcast, part where you pay us money. Pay us all your money now.
Yes,
pay
please. Us. No. Go to our Patreon and pay us money.
The part where we fix this movie.
We have already several times, I think. If it just lived in a fucking weird, like if you got Matt Groening to come in and...
What if it's animated?
Oh, yeah.
What if instead of Jim Carrey, he's an animated horse?
Oh, okay. Like Mr. Ed?
Yep, exactly like Mr. Ed. But maybe if Mr. Ed was voiced by Will Arnett.
I feel like Mr. Ed didn't know that there was a show happening, so that's what Mr. Ed was.
God. You know what? How much more interesting this movie was if it was just the real world story of Mr. Ed, the horse that didn't know he was on television.
He was on television. He just thought they were giving him peanut butter.
I mean, now granted, he was a horse.
yeah, yeah.
So he maybe less...
The capability to know how.
Yeah, to really dive into the philosophy of freedom versus fate and all of that sort of thing. But... Yeah, what if it's still Mr. Ed and he's married to Laura Linney and
yeah,
I don't know,
and he's doing horse stuff.
He's like a horse.
you just like,
his best friend keeps bringing him six packs of beer and oats.
So you know when you watch one of those SNL skits where they have dogs and the dog is not cooperating, it would just be that over and over,
over
again.
And over
it's
again.
Just actors being like, anyway, we got to do this work stuff, and then the horse just runs off.
and Mr. Ed, you got to go over the ferry to get that Jameson account, and he's just like, eating carrots. yeah. You're like, Mr. We got the Jameson account, and then he just poops.
Yep,
then you right in the middle of the office.
Clean his hoofs, but he has to pretend he's like a human person.
Yeah, they keep putting hats on him, and he just shakes them off.
yeah,
God damn it!
No, Truman, keep that hat on. I also that would lend itself to some funny, like, hey, my boss is coming to have dinner with us, Truman. Stop, you know, like kicking shit and shitting on the ground.
Breaking all the glasses.
Yeah. Stop eating all the food.
Yeah.
And swatting at flies with your tail.
I do like that a lot better. You're embarrassing me, honey.
Everybody just pretends that the horse understands what's going on.
Is 100% a real human being.
By that logic, realistically, all animals at all times are Truman.
That's true. Well, and that's what it's saying. The bigger picture of it is that every animal actor is a Truman.
It's a Truman.
Their own story. Yeah.
Like, dogs don't know that.
So, you know, next time you're watching Homeward Bound or, you know, whatever fucking, what other movies are animals in? Milo and Otis? Can I think of an older reference?
Also, you would have
Shaggy. Old Yeller.
You'd have to have, or
Benji.
Where the red fern grows.
Yep.
Yeah.
Have they done any movies recently with animals, or am I just an old man?
Yeah, you're just mentioning fucking 1950s animal movies, Lassie. And you could have even got Wishbone, which is like 20 years ago.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you're right.
There's Andy the Talking Hedgehog. We could have brought him into it.
Yeah. That
hedgehog sure did talk.
Several different looking hedgehogs. Yeah, you would also have to have like several Mr. Eds, right? The show would only last like fucking 15 years or something.
Less.
Yeah. And then, God forbid, Truman breaks his leg.
Well, you really,
shoot him in the head.
I mean, look, every show should only last like 10 years.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, that's true. It's ridiculous that we went 30 years of Truman.
Yeah.
What world does this exist in? I don't know.
I mean, we do have, 40 years of The Simpsons at this point.
Yes,
I'm pretty sure it feels like it. Someone should have fucking shot Homer in the face.
Yeah, somebody should have put
put him out of his misery.
Fucking 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, Homer broke his leg. You know what we got to do now?
What if it starts off the Truman Show, but then, you know, when he leaves, they just replace him with a horse?
That's good.
Yeah.
If this movie would have just been a 3-hour movie that just halfway through, Truman leaves. He's like, good night, good afternoon, good evening, whatever, good night, leaves. And they're just like, all right, bring him in. Then it's just a horse.
Bring in Truman too. So we've had this in our back pocket the whole time. We have another actor that does not know that he's being filmed. And it's just a horse. He's wearing a tie and they just push him.
They just
push
him
in.
Right into the same fucking job. Hey, buddy, you want a beer?
Oh, look at you. You're thirsty.
He's really chewing that can. That must be because that can is filled with delicious old beer.
Actually, that was another
that
thing we didn't talk about.
Funniest
and that
thing,
was funny.
The product, the fake product placement stuff.
Yeah,
really funny.
Laura Linney is like, why don't we have this coffee? It's the best. And she does like the whole commercial. And he's like, who are you,
talking about?
That was pretty funny.
That was good. That was really good.
Also, if you make it a, like, just the idea that you can just put that guy into anything and you chose that, it's so fucked up. Like, it's so, I would be very mad at Ed Harris if he brought that show.
I know.
To me.
You couldn't, obviously, if I was Truman, I'd be pissed off. I'd be like, you could have made me fucking Luke Skywalker and you made me an insurance salesman? Fuck you.
He's afraid of water?
Yeah.
What fucking more lame could I fucking could you have made me?
I could have been goddamn Batman. You killed my parents and I couldn't even be Batman.
You could have,
although really that's on him. He should have just Batmaned it up once his dad died.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really on him.
That's on him. Yeah, when you're 6 years old and you have a death of a parent,
you gotta
go
Batman.
Anything else is just
anything
weak.
Else it's on you. Yeah. It really is.
You gotta do one or the other. You gotta go Batman or you gotta go supervillain. Like, yeah, that's it. Everything else is on you. If you didn't do anything but just deal with that trauma, that's poor.
That's bullshit. Total bullshit.
Yeah.
So that's the end of the show.
I think we fixed it. Horse Truman. I didn't expect us doing that, but we did.
I know. I didn't see Horse Truman coming, but you never do until he kicks you with his powerful, powerful kicking hooks.
Yeah. Every now and then he just kills an actor.
Yep. Shouldn't stand behind him.
You should know better than that.
At this point.
We used to be able to stand behind Truman. Yeah, but that's when he was a guy. Yeah.
That was Truman 1. This is Truman 2. Come on, get with the fucking program, dude. It's the sequel.
Yeah, you gotta make some adjustments to that. what are we talking about next week?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Probably another Jim Carrey movie. It's all fucking Jim Carrey's back to back. But, you know, Lukewarm. Not bad directing.
Yeah. It's fine. It's a fine movie. It's not as good as I remembered it being, but whatever.
Yeah, but it's all right.
Yeah. If it's on and you're, doing something else at the same time.
Yeah, you can listen to Jim Carrey's voice in the background.
If you're like, scrolling through fucking social media and half watching a movie.
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
Or if you're like, I want a Jim Carrey movie that I haven't seen a fucking million times. Yeah. And also that does not suck really bad.
That's true.
Like, I don't want to see Popper's Penguins and shit.
Ugh.
Yeah, but I also, I've seen Dumb and Dumber a fucking million times. Or Ventura. Yeah, let's watch Truman Show.
Yeah, why not? All right, folks, we'll be back next week with another amazing episode. Until then, check us out on Instagram. Subscribe, like, tell your friends everywhere. Friend us on Facebook. Blockbuster Nostalgia everywhere that everywhere is. Hit the Patreon. Give us some money.
Yeah.
Give us your goddamn money.
Share. Tell your friends to give us money as well.
Yeah. Until then, I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
Wishing you a good night and a good journey.
Reload. Literally, he's like, hey, I'm out. This guy's dangerous. Oh, we replaced him with the horse. All right, I'm back in.